This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another episode of The Life of Aisha, Mother of the Believers. With me, your sister, Fatima Barakatullah. In the last episode, we saw how Aisha radiallahu anha and her sister Asma and brother Abdullah helped Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr on their historic hijrah to Medina. Aisha was literally a witness to history, and the great thing for us is that she paid such close attention to the details, and she had such a strong memory that all of these stories have been conveyed to us in vivid detail. We also saw how she traveled with her mother, her sister, and the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for her own hijrah. We saw how her camel ran off and everyone was panicking and chasing after the camel, and then eventually it regained control. And then she arrived in Quba, where her sister Asma gave birth to Abdullah bin Zubair, her nephew. Then we witnessed that Aisha radiallahu anha entered Medina and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's masjid was still being built. Well, when they arrived in Medina, it was a completely new environment for many of the muhajirun. It was a different climate and a different city. And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and some of the muhajirun, they became very ill. They had a severe fever. Aisha radiallahu anha as well was homesick, and she became ill as well for about a month. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw his companion suffering, he was very moved and he made dua for Medina. He said, "My Lord, make us love Medina as much or more than we love Makkah." He also said, "O Allah, make this city a land of health and abundance. Bless its sa' and its mud." And these were measurements for weighing food in Medina. And he said, "O Allah, remove its fever." When Aisha radiallahu anha had recovered, her mother began preparing her for moving in with her husband, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She began to take great care in feeding her properly, as was the custom, in order to help her to grow stronger and mature. Aisha radiallahu anha tells us in a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married me when I was 6 years old, and he consummated our marriage when I was 9 years old. And then I remained with him for 9 years, meaning until he passed away. The Battle of Badr took place on the 17th of Ramadan in the second year of Hijrah. It was a great victory for the Muslims. And immediately afterwards, in the month of Shawwal, Aisha radiallahu anha moved into the little hut that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had prepared for her right next to the masjid. There were two or three huts with a small courtyard each built next to the masjid. And those would be the houses of Aisha, Sauda, and also of Ali and Fatima radiallahu anha. The walls were made of mud and the roof was date leaves and branches. The roof was very low. It was so low you could touch it if you stood up. And there was a door or some kind of curtain between the masjid that entered straight into the house or the courtyard of Aisha radiallahu anha. There was a simple bed in the house, in the hut, and some water skins. Over time, more huts were built for each of the other wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, today, the place where those huts were has been incorporated into the masjid. But you should know that when you see that green dome, that underneath it was the area where all of the huts of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have been. And it was because Aisha radiallahu anha got married in Shawwal that she used to consider Shawwal to be a very blessed month. She used to say, the Prophet married me in Shawwal and began living with me in Shawwal a few years later. So which of the Messenger of Allah's wives has been more fortunate in the month of Shawwal than me? A ceremony took place where Aisha radiallahu anha was beautified and the Ansari women gathered and chanted and prayed for the bride and groom. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam borrowed 500 dirhams from Abu Bakr and gave it to Aisha radiallahu anha as her dower. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came into the house and was offered a bowl of milk, which he in turn offered to Aisha radiallahu anha. It was a simple but blessed wedding. And we learn from this that if the most blessed man, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his most beloved wife had a simple yet blessed wedding, we too should make marriage easy. We too should make our weddings simple in order to increase the blessing in those weddings. And thus, Aisha radiallahu anha's life began as wife, student, friend, and confidant of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In modern times, some people have made an issue out of the age of Aisha radiallahu anha when she got married. She was 6 years old when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam contracted the marriage with her, but she only began to live with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam when she was 9. Now, what we have to understand is that when we look at history, it's unfair to use the lens of our context to judge the context of others. Until relatively recently, it was perfectly normal all over the world for girls and boys to get married young. In fact, even today, it's perfectly normal. I know from my own grandparents that they got married when they were like 13 years old. Girls and boys would often marry in their teens or even earlier. And it is for that reason that the age of Aisha radiallahu anha was really not seen as controversial at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and even after his time, even by those who opposed Islam. Some of the factors to bear in mind when we think about their context is that life expectancy of women around that time was about the age of 38. People had shorter lives. They didn't really live beyond the age of 40. And if they did, it was considered having a long life because people died of illnesses and diseases that couldn't be cured. And this is in the 3rd to 8th centuries, which is known as the late antiquity. Childhood was shorter. Children matured very quickly and experienced the various stages of life more quickly too. Puberty or physical and mental maturity were considered the signs of adulthood, not age as it is today. Marriage was the norm. So what would normally happen is that in a typical marriage, the marriage contract would be drawn up, but consummation would take place when the parties were considered physically and psychologically mature enough. Having lots of children was seen as a blessing and good for security and wealth. And since children died young, child mortality was high, they felt that the younger you got married, the more children you would likely have. So the bottom line regarding Aisha radiallahu anha's age when she married Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that she was mature enough. She was in a loving, caring marriage and she was very happy. She wasn't an oppressed child. She was actually very feisty and outspoken with a strong personality. She was not suppressed in any way. In fact, she would often express her anger as well as her joy openly to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in short, although in our times, in our context, it might not be considered suitable for people to get married at such a young age, for her times and her context, it was perfectly normal and a normal thing to do. and it was a perfectly healthy, happy marriage. Now, that doesn't mean that in our times, now that, you know, we have an understanding for our times that children don't mature at such a young age and it's illegal in many countries. And many countries have got together and decided that it would be better for children to get married at an older age, or for people to get married when they're older. If that's something that is the case in our times, then of course that's something that we respect and that we should live by. But what we are trying to highlight here is what was right for her context in her times. And that's not necessarily what's right for our times. So there's no need for us to get nervous when we talk about the age of Aisha radiallahu anha. It's something that we just have to contextualize and understand that, you know, it was the right thing for that time and it was absolutely normal for that time as well. Inshallah, after the break, we will look at the marriage of Aisha radiallahu anha with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what their married life was like, and what the household was like. So join me after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back, dear brothers and sisters. We were talking about Aisha radiallahu anha's marriage and life with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first thing that we notice when we look at her relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that it was a relationship full of love. The Prophet was a loving husband. Aisha talks about enjoying meals with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the way he would interact with her. Sometimes he would put a morsel of food into her mouth. He would drink from the same cup as her, and even from the exact same place where she had placed her lips. He ate sometimes from a bone that she had been eating from, and he would place his mouth where she had eaten. In other words, he had that sense of intimacy and closeness to her. When she was asked, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do in the house? She replied, he used to keep himself busy serving his family. In another hadith, she was asked, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do at home? And she replied, he would do chores for his family. And when it was time for the prayer, he would go out. So this really tells you the kind of attitude that a Muslim man should have, in that when he's at home, yes, he will be busy with his family, serving his family and being involved in whatever the affairs of the family are. But at the same time, when it comes to salah, when it comes to the time for the salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes first, right? So his family life did not distract Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that is a message for all of us, right? Sometimes we get so busy with our families, sometimes we get so engrossed that our obligations suffer. And that shouldn't be the case. And on the other hand, sometimes people get so engrossed with their obligations and with work outside of the home that they don't give enough time to helping out within the home. So what we see in the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the perfect balance. The perfect balance. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to divide his time equally between his wives. So obviously later on he had even more wives, and he would do his best to divide his time equally between them in terms of the number of nights that he would spend with each of them. And yet he had a special love for Aisha radiallahu anha. He used to say, oh Allah, this is my division concerning that which I control. So do not blame me concerning that which you control and that I do not. In other words, his heart, right? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to race with Aisha. She said, the Prophet raced with me and I beat him. And later on, she said, when she had gained a little bit of weight, she raced with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam again, and he beat her. And he said, this day is for that day. So you can see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a sense of humor. He kept things light when it came to his relationship with his wives. Also, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to keep himself very clean. One of the Sahaba asked Aisha, what was the first thing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to do when he entered his house? She replied, he would use his siwak. So he was constantly keeping himself clean, making sure that he smelled nice. He used to apply perfume, as we know. Aisha radiallahu anha used to comb his hair and his beard. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to lean on Aisha radiallahu anha's lap and recite Quran. And she said he used to do this even while she was on her menses. Subhanallah. So it shows you that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not regard a woman in menses as being something impure or someone who you cannot have contact with and relations with. Something else which shows us the intimacy and the closeness with which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam regarded Aisha is that she said he used to bathe from the same vessel as her. She said, I and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam took a bath from the same vessel and our hands alternated into it, even though we were in a state of janaba, in a state of, you know, major ritual impurity. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she said, was screening me with his garment while I was looking at the Ethiopians who were playing or doing a display of some sort in the courtyard of the masjid. I continued watching until I was satisfied. Subhanallah. And Aisha radiallahu anha comments on this and she says, you can see from this how you should treat a girl in order to allow her to enjoy amusements in this way. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave Aisha certain pet names or nicknames. He used to call her Humaira. He used to call her Muwaffaqa, the one who has been given tawfiq, who's been given guidance and success. And he used to call her Aish. So he shortened her name. So these are all little signs that show you the kind of loving relationship he had with her. And you know, he used to overlook some of her, sometimes her feisty personality, right? So at times Aisha radiallahu anha, she would get jealous, you know, and she even expressed this. She said, I did not feel jealous of any of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as much as I did of Khadija, though I did not see her. But the Prophet used to mention her very often. And whenever he slaughtered a sheep, he would cut its parts and send them to the friends of Khadija radiallahu anha. Subhanallah. In this hadith, we see that Aisha radiallahu anha knew herself. You know, she understood her own feelings. And she observed that she felt this sense of jealousy of especially Khadija radiallahu anha, even though she had not met her. But at the same time, she is telling us something very special and important about the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam treated another wife of his, Khadija, in that, first of all, he used to mention her very often. So Khadija was somebody he never forgot, especially, you know, everything that she'd done for him. And he honored his wife so much that when he slaughtered a sheep, he would remember the friends of Khadija radiallahu anha. So even in this incident, we see, subhanallah, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is showing his loving nature towards another one of his wives. Another incident that really shows you the closeness of Aisha radiallahu anha with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a story she tells about how one day she was she had her head on the lap of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he had a very cheerful face. So she said to him, O Messenger of Allah, supplicate to Allah for me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Allah, forgive Aisha for her past and future sins, in secret and in public. So in other words, he made a very comprehensive dua for her, right? I mean, who amongst us wouldn't want our past and future sins to be forgiven? The sins that we've done in secret and the sins that we've done in public. In other words, all of our sins. Aisha radiallahu anha began to laugh out of happiness when she heard his dua, to such an extent that her head fell from his lap. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to her, "Does my supplication, my dua, does it make you happy?" Aisha said, "Why would your dua not make me happy?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then told her something that we are very blessed to know about. He said, "By Allah, this is my dua for my nation, for my ummah, in every single prayer." Subhanallah. From this narration, we learn so much about Aisha radiallahu anha. First of all, we learn about her loving nature and how even in marriage, even in a playful way, she would ask for good from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She wanted his du'as. She understood his status. She understood that if he makes du'a for you, it comes true, right? She also understood that this du'a was the best thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have gifted her, right? In other words, could be her ticket to Jannah if all of her past, future, secret and public sins were forgiven. So it really shows you the fiqh of Aisha. It also shows you her sincerity, because it's a dua like this that makes her happy. You know, in our times, what are the things that make us as women happy? We get happy if our husband buys us some jewelry, right? Or he gives us some money, or he takes us out, or he buys us some flowers. It's all these kinds of material things. And of course, gifts and material things are important and they have their place. But look at how Aisha radiallahu anha's priorities are different. For her, this is the greatest gift Rasulullah could have given her. And we also learn from this how blessed we are that he married Aisha. Why? Because these types of incidents, if you were to reflect on this type of incident, it's a very intimate, private incident that must have taken place. There would be no witnesses to this dua of the Prophet ﷺ. There would be no witnesses to tell us that he made such an amazing dua for his ummah if it wasn't for our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. In the next episode, we will be looking at Aisha radiallahu anha as student of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We will also look at the verses of tayammum, the dry ablution, that were revealed due to an incident that took place with our mother Aisha. Join me then. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik.